Cuz, what's happening, my friend?
Play it, Zach. Play it. Play the soul, Zach.
By the way, I thought about you this weekend, and it had to do with food. So I was in Philly for a wedding, and one of my best friends got married at the Franklin Institute. It was a wonderful affair, and I was in the wedding. So you know how this works. The girls get ready at like 9 a.m. with like 10 hours of makeup and all that, and the guys just sit around, and we drink a bunch of beer. And my buddy, he ordered some Primo hoagies, and I was eating a chicken Supremo hoagie, and all I thought about was Anthony Gargano.
That's awesome. That is beautiful. Anytime you want them, I'll make sure you get them right to the studio, brother.
Absolutely love it. Oh, I forgot how good those hoagies were, too. That chicken Supremo hoagie was just unbelievable. How do you describe the performance yesterday, by the way, cuz of James Harden?
I mean, he's a shapeshifter. Have you ever seen anybody like him over, like, what has happened the last four games, right? So game one, he is magical and he plays great. There's no Embiid. And they win. And you go, okay, well, maybe Boston wasn't playing good enough defense or tight end to figure it out. Then game two, he's not good, but Embiid comes back. The offense will disjoint it. He shoots 2 for 14. Okay, you throw it out. Game three at home, he's horrendous. Friday night, he played one of the worst games. I thought he was Tony from Blue Chip, who was point shaving, right? Like, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And then he comes back. Just when everybody's cursing him and they're talking about playoff Harden, and he's 10 times better than he, as bad as he was Friday, he was 10 times better as he was. Like, he was unbelievable. He played, he was clutch, he was money, like the floater to tie it in regulation, and then calmly buries the triple from the corner. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. He changes from like hour to hour. It's wild.
What do you think you're going to get from Harden the rest of the series? Because that's the multi-million-dollar question.
I have no idea, Zach. It's crazy. I don't know. He could be horrible, and then he'll drop, you know, another 40-bagger. I don't know. Listen, here's what I do know, is that he seems really comfortable when they rely on him. When they need him, right? When they're going to him, he seems pretty comfortable. Now, does the Celtics adjust and pick him up three-quarter court? Like, when they were picking him up three-quarter court and they didn't allow the spacing, and that means the screens and fighting through the screens and the switches, when he has space, he's showing you he's got legs and he's deadly. He didn't have space Friday night, and he didn't have space in game two either. That's going to be the key. If he can get clean and has space, he'll score. If not, you know, you can better dump it into Embiid.
The Embiid conversation today, I was listening to a lot of Philly radio today, is so frustrating because when you watch that game, you expected more out of him in the fourth quarter, and it doesn't help when Al Horford is just doing a great job on him defensively. But also, it's like, that's what Sixers fans have kind of been bitching about the last few years, how they need someone outside of Embiid to be that closer. So what was your read on Embiid yesterday in the conversation 24 hours later?
I mean, I'll be honest, in fairness, the dude played was out of his mind Friday night, right? He was by himself Friday night. Nobody else played well. Maxey's been killing him, and I love Maxey to death, but they need him. Tobias was in foul trouble on Friday night. He had a bad game yesterday, right? It was Embiid was gassed. Remember, he comes back last Wednesday. He plays Friday, dominates, then has to play again Sunday. Big guy, by the fourth quarter, was gassed. I think that's pretty legitimate. And by the way, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt on that call. I you know, especially if you're not going to call the Tatum push before that, then Embiid's got to get the call. One of them, it's got to be equal in that sense. I think Embiid will actually play well. I think he's giving you, with that knee, he's giving you exactly what you want. I think he's playing good ball. Friday night, he was spectacular.
I also thought Anthony Gargano, Doc did a good job because he's been polarizing in Philly, and Doc going after the officials last night in a win, that was really a Philly type of move.
It was, and guess what? He's been people all over the country go after him, and you know that when it comes to blowing leads, I thought he called a really good game. I didn't have a problem with any of his substitution. The play he draws up I thought was really well. Like when he dumped the ball in B got deeper into the post, right? Then as Jaylen Brown comes over to help out, he dishes clean. By the way, it's a great pass and B makes to Harden in the corner. That was a Doc play. That was a good play. I got to tell you. And they didn't completely melt down. I've seen them melt down before. When they blow a lead, they did not melt down. Now, part of it was Harden, but I think he's coached a really good series. I have no issues with that.
Anthony Gargano, were you surprised yesterday in regulation and then also overtime that Mazzulla didn't take a timeout?
Yeah, I remember, especially after he's been on the fire for that. So I thought for sure, especially in overtime, because you want to make sure that you ever want to play where it's Brown or Tatum and you're not relying on Smart again. Because Smart, even though he makes it and it's a tick late, he misses the three at the end of regulation. You got to get Brown. That's his game right there. You got to put either Jaylen or Tatum. That's the two-man game, and that's why you got to call timeout there.
I'll tell you, with the Celtics, and they did not look great up against the Hawks, and in this series, it's just been two different versions. They should still probably go to the finals, but they really have not impressed me in the playoffs so far.
No, especially down the stretch. They're kind of odd down the stretch. Sometimes they're tight, and then sometimes – and listen, Tatum was great. He was great yesterday. I mean, he was fantastic down the stretch. But you saw him in game two. He disappeared. Game one, they looked like they were scared down the stretch. It's been odd. And then yesterday, they take more threes than twos when it comes to field goal attempts. I mean, 44-43. I got to tell you, they're an interesting team, but I can't completely give them the series just yet. I want to see if they get pushed and how they react. That'll tell them the whole story.
Oh, they're playing with fire. There's no doubt about it because they basically sleptwalked through the first three quarters of the game, and then Mazzulla's like, I know we could play a different level defensively, and then in a snap of a finger – that game was tied. I could not believe that, and I know basketball, it's a game of runs. I feel like you just turn the final 5 minutes for all these games. But it felt like the Sixers were just dominating. The next thing you know, you look up, it's an eight-point game, and an eight-point game turns into a tie game.
I'll tell you, to me, the MVP for them is Brogdon. Brogdon's had a hell of a series. He kept them in the game yesterday. I mean, you know, open threes, good defense. He's kept them in the game. He's had a really good series.
And I really think it's going to be the third player that ends up deciding this. Like, you talked about it with the Sixers. I know Harden, it was sandwiched in between 1 and 4 with just two dreadful performances. But you know he's going to get his. And Embiid, even on one leg, is going to get his. Tatum and Brown, they're going to be more aggressive. I think the third player really is going to decide this series on who ends up winning it between Boston and Philly.
Rob, I think that's brilliant. And that's where Maxey. Remember, Tyrese Maxey, who's a dynamic player, who's going to be a star in this league. His issue, though, has been Boston. He had, in 7 games against Boston, he had double figures only twice. He had a decent game one. He has not played well in the last 3 games. They need him. They need him to score in flurries. They need him to shoot the 3-ball. He's paramount to them to get quick runouts and easy baskets. Maxey is the key to this series. If they unleash him, if he can find his way against Boston, Sixers have a shot.
But can he find his way with also Embiid and Harden finding their ways, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, I think, listen, he's done it all year. It's not like he's taking a complete, total backseat to them. I mean, look, Harden, especially, will be able to play more distributor. There are moments when Doc puts the ball in his hands and says, go ahead, young man. Go carry us. And he did it against Brooklyn, too. In 2 of the games, he carried them. So I think there's more than enough space for him to do it.
The emotions in Philadelphia today, after getting that win where it looked like they were going to blow them out, and then they had to sweat it out in the worst possible way, but they found a way to prevail by 1. What are the emotions in Philly the rest of the way about this series?
It's all exhaustion, man. Exactly. Complete exhaustion. People are just mentally drink, because Friday night you think it's over after that. I mean, Friday night was just dreadful, especially the way Embiid plays. And then yesterday it looks good, only to have that dramatic the overtime in the last 4 minutes where you go, oh my God, they're going to lose. And then it's got shades of all the other playoff failures. Remember, this is the 6th iteration of this Sixer team post-process. So this fan base has been through it, and they've been felt right, like through the ringer. It's like, let me catch my breath, because the best of three that's coming up is going to just be white knuckle ball.
And it's also, I know Harden played great yesterday, so it may not be the time to make this take. But when you watch Jimmy Butler play with the Heat, even on one ankle, it's like, how the heck did they just not keep Embiid and but I know the answer to it, but how they didn't keep Embiid and Butler in Philly is maddening.
I know. I mean, we know we came down to the owner and Brett Brown, and you know Jimmy went to Josh, and Brett said it's, you know, basically Jimmy said it's either me or Brett. Then you had the Simmons factor, and it just made more sense for Josh Harris to just kind of move on, which has killed him. It has. I mean, you know, Jimmy's an alpha, and he and Joe get along. It's a shame, but I just don't see how that situation was going to get rectified with Brett Brown being in the way and Simmons being there, and ironically, all three are gone.
Last thing I'll ask you, I know it's a bit silly, but I remember when Josh Harris bought the Devils, some fans were annoyed that he was owning the Sixers and then owning the Devils. Now with him looking like he's getting into bed with the Commanders and taking the team from Daniel Snyder, are fans upset with that, or does it just not matter because the guy's allowed to do it?
I mean, some people are, but
stupid.
I can't. I'm not going to bury the guy for God bless him. He's actually a great owner, and the Eagles are for sale. I'm sure if the Eagles were for sale, and Jeff Lurie, who's an equally great owner, was would hand him the keys, he'd take him. But you know, he grew up outside Chevy Chase, Maryland, and you know, but listen, it makes more sense. So I don't see how in that case you can't be petty. You just got to go. He's a great owner. He's taking care of my team, and he's got the highest coaching payroll. He's got all kinds. He treats the Sixers really well, and that's all I care about.
Cuz, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Love you, brother. My man.